Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 20 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I'm asking this week for a change is, how many games do you think Andrew Gaff will get at the tribunal? Brenton?
9.
Josh?
7.
And that's all we'll talk about Andrew Gaff today. So the second question I asked this week is your highlight of the week. So Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, I mean, Formula One's in the off-season at the moment, so I've got not much to do on a Sunday night except sit around my gaff and have a beer or two, and bit of news. Daniel Ricciardo has decided to sign with Renault, who have got a pretty shit engine, but it's not as shit as a Honda engine.
Is it a good move for him?
Well, the more I think about it, the better it gets. Basically, Renault have put a lot of investment into basically their infrastructure and personnel. They've managed to snag a guy from the FIA, who are the parent body of Formula One, who would have known all the secrets for the other cars when they were going through scrutineering to make sure they're legal, which was a bit of a coup for them. They've also got a couple of designers coming in. So, I mean, he didn't really have anywhere else to go unless he stayed at Red Bull, who aren't going to do much for the next couple of seasons. So the more I think about it, the more I like the move. But it's still good to have something that wasn't just shitposting for the F1 summer break.
An actual F1 event.
Yep.
It's one of those things where a few years back, people said the same about Lewis Hamilton going to Mercedes because they were a bit ordinary and they had Schumacher driving for it at the time. Yeah. Granted, he was 76 years old, but he was doing nothing. And then Mercedes had invested heavily in the next generation of engine regs, and now they're the team to beat. They've won the last couple.
Yeah, by a long way.
So Renault, they've got the money, Renault. If they want to invest in it, they certainly can. So they could make a world-beater car. Yeah. And if they're willing to drop $20 million on Dan Ricciardo, which is apparently five times what Red Bull are offering.
Jesus.
Really? I know nothing about Formula One, but I would have thought $20 million would have been standard for a high-level driver.
Oh, some pay. Yeah. But it also depends on how much sponsorship you bring, that sort of crap.
Yeah, the rest of it.
And Red Bull generally pay unders. But he is exactly what Renault need, both on and off the track. Like, as a marketable figure, he is spectacular. Look at, obviously, they own brands like Aston Martin. And if you have the Daniel Ricciardo edition of Aston Martin, that's a brilliant car. Like, from day, you know it's not going to be shit.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one, but stuck with the Honda Jazz.
So the latest Aston Martin's been pretty shit, really.
Yeah, I haven't liked it much at all, actually. No.
I'd knock them back. I'd knock back a couple.
I think there was a Seb Vettel Clio at some stage, and you're like,
there was
great,
two.
Great magazine. Yeah. Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Finally announced that Connor's going to fight again against Khabib.
Yep.
The hype on this will be astronomical. I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah. When do you think it'll be called off? Next month or the month after? Because I don't get excited about the Khabib fights until after weigh-ins.
Pretty much.
That's when you should start getting excited.
And I found it pretty funny that Conor came out and said after his trial that he's never going to fight in Vegas ever again. And Vegas.
This fight's in Vegas? Really, who would have thought?
Yeah, what a gaff.
I like he has to do anger management.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
part of the deal.
I'm like, a fighter.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's a fighter. He's Irish. Anger comes with it.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah. The double champ does whatever the fuck he wants, unless it's court ordered.
All right. Let's get into the footy because it was an absolute magnificent round of football.
Oh, state of the game.
There was something to talk about in every single game, which is amazing. We'll start off on Friday night with the Tigers and Geelong. 65,000 in the wet. It's not a bad damn effort.
It was a good turnout for. I mean, it wasn't totally pissing down rain. In the afternoon, it was quite nice. So
I walked to the game from the city, and I had my umbrella up.
Yeah, people would have committed to going to the game, rain, hail, or shine. I would have imagined
65,000 did
play for as well. And yeah, I thought like this Richmond, I thought they were dominant in the first quarter. They just didn't make the most of their chances, which allowed Geelong to stay in the game. And even when it came out in the third and started kicking a few goals like they do generally with their third quarter efforts, you thought, oh, this is where they get away from it and this will probably be put to rest. But Geelong just had that resilience to keep on coming back no matter what Richmond brought to them. And a lot of it was actually around the contest.
Yeah. It's funny. Once they broke away, they had a lot of run through the middle, Geelong.
Yeah.
And we keep saying that Richmond are the best fourth quarter side, but Geelong took them up and beat them well in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Just a lot of handballs through the middle, I think, for Geelong that brought them unstuck.
Yeah.
There's sometimes where you go, you know what, guys, you're out. Go now. Run. Shepherd.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem to like to handball instead of handball, shepherd, you run.
Yep.
I don't know. Found it weird.
Well, they had 90 more handballs than Richmond.
Jesus.
But that's phenomenal.
That's typical of the games, though, because Richmond aren't muck around with it. They just get it forward, we'll figure it out down there.
Yeah.
Well, they only had... Richmond had 223 kicks to Geelong's 200. So that's, you know, fairly what you'd expect. But just 114 to 204. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it just happened that way sometimes. Yeah.
And Jack had another... I mean, this is like his third consistent performance, goal scoring performance in a row, I think.
It was funny. There was one stage of the game, I think he had six kicks and two goals or three goals.
Yeah.
You're like, well, he hasn't touched the ball, but he had a tap on to Castagna that was a goal and he took one or two nice marks. He did his job. Yeah. That's all you want.
Well, it's weird now that he's actually getting a return for our consistent sort of strategy of just getting the ball forward and getting the forward lines. The little guys take care of it. Now you just get into the forward lines and he actually takes a mark.
Well, I think it's as soon as Richmond got linked with Tom Lynch, he's like, fuck, better pull my finger out here.
I thought there was an incident first 6 or 7 minutes. It was just right in front of us. The ball's just gone out. It was Edwards who, you know, taking the ball out over the boundary line.
Yep.
And Selwood was there. And Selwood just grabbed him fair by the throat and then turned away.
Really?
I'm like, okay. Because it happened right in front of me. I'm like, he's clearly trying to get a reaction out of him.
Yeah.
But no free kick. Didn't happen.
No.
And Edwards looked like he goes, I know what you're trying to do, mate. I'm not doing it. I'm not buying into it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of cool head and veteran temperament you get from a 200 gamer.
Yeah, and with lots of coffee meetings with the umpires as well, I reckon, because the umpire wasn't too crash hot in the free kick count.
Well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I mean.
It wasn't bad.
got to throw something in there.
I didn't feel like it was badly umpired. It was just the way it goes.
But yeah, Dusty come back to some form as well, getting his hands on the ball. Even when they pushed him up forward, he didn't have an impact on the scoreboard, but it was still enough where they had to worry about him as well. And even when he's trying to be one out, we're getting the ball forward and we've got everyone running towards the goal because he's only got him forward there. So I thought that was pretty smart as well. I think he got 20-odd kicks.
Yeah, there was a lot of times too where I saw kicking out from full back. Dusty's got a bloke standing right next to him. He's just like, no, just kick it here.
Yeah.
I ain't running. Kick it for fucking me. I'll fucking get it. And he did most of the time.
And also, Sam Lloyd definitely changed his game up now. Played a good chasing effort.
Two big tackles in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Tackles that stuck and had to stick.
For a total of 7 tackles for the game, which is a good return for him, who was generally a very aggressive forward half player. Forward 50 player.
Forward half has been very generous. Yeah. I was a little bit surprised with the attention given to Gary Ablett after the game. He missed, you know, two shots from that pocket. Yeah. But, I mean, the shots on goal that he usually kicks, he didn't kick them. Mm. Like, just go, well, you know what? You didn't kick it. Obviously, he was trying to.
Yeah. Well, it seems like people have been jumping on this Gary Ablett bashing train in the last couple of weeks. I think he's been playing good. He's not at his absolute best of his whole life, but fuck, that's a big...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a pretty big yardstick to try and judge someone by. I think he's been playing great.
He's judging against the best ever, pretty much. Because if you're talking best ever footy players, he's in that conversation.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. Yeah.
So you're judging him against primetime Michael Jordan of the sport. He's not up to that anymore. But fuck me, he's still best 22.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Well, you say that. He was only just best 22 because he started on the bench.
That's not the first time this season they've done that.
Yeah, I reckon that's dumb.
I don't know what's going on.
Trying to break tags or some shit. I don't know.
But if I was Geelong, every game I'd have Selwood, Dangerfield, Ablett in the middle. I'd say, right, fuckers.
Yeah, that's it.
Tag who you want.
Problem is, none of them tackle. So.
Well, that was the key thing I thought in this. Tackles were pretty even with 92 Richmond's way to 73, but it was in the forward 50 where Richmond had 18 versus 9. So their forward pressure was just rabid.
Yeah, just by the way, 93 to 72, I don't really call that very even. That's a fairly difference, especially in the wet.
It's a reasonable difference.
Yeah.
But when Geelong had so much more possession, you kind of think, you know, you wouldn't say that's a pantsing, whereas 18-9, like double the forward 50 tackles,
yeah,
that's a hiding.
Well, Richmond butchered it when they put it into their forward 50 for the first half, which was one of the things that really let them down.
Well, maybe that was the plan. We'll turn it over in the forward 50 and then tackle the fuck out of them and get the turnover.
We're trying to get those, what was I reading today about high pressure movements, high pressure
pressure acts or something?
Yeah, apparently there's the biggest score ever, maybe. Fair Richmond, enough. I'm pretty sure.
I believe it. You try to think, who was the best players for Richmond? It's hard.
It's yeah. Hard,
I mean, Cochin had a great game. Rewalt had four goals and only touched the ball 10 times. Caddy was pretty good, but...
Caddy was amongst it. I thought it was a lot of off-the-ball effort that really... was the impressive acts by Richmond. Generally, we have actually a fair few highlights of the last couple of years just from individual efforts, you know, one or two things here and there, whether it be Higgins' goal or a nice touch from Shatter.
Yep.
But this one wasn't a fancy win.
No.
It was just everyone...
It was hard work.
Had to do what they needed to do. But yeah, I don't think there was one real outstanding performance, which I think has been one of the standouts of Richmond's teamwork this year, is that people were talking about Dusty not being in Brownlow contention, but it's great that it doesn't have to be. We're on top of the table.
Hmm. But, you know, those guys like Caddy, Edwards, Cochin, none of them got over 20 touches.
No.
You know, but they had a big impact on the game.
No, but I mean, sure, Greg, you can't understand these six hitouts.
It was great. Whereas on the other side, you know, Dangerfield had 39 or something stupid, and Duncan was 33, and Selwood was 30-odd.
I think about 20 contested for Dangerfield too.
Kelly was probably the best player for the Cats. I saw him, like, there was a lot of plays where they pick up four touches in the one play and not get out of the centre square. You're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Anyway, it was another good win by Richmond, and I think that does pretty much sews up minor premiership for them and puts Geelong in perilous trouble.
Yeah. I think there's only West Coast that are second at the moment, aren't they? Well, they're injured and a game behind.
Very funny that at the start of this round I said there's only three teams that can win it, and that's GWS, West Coast and Richmond, and whoever's got the best injury list will win. West Coast pretty much wiped out one of their midfielders now, and GWS had four or five injuries.
Yeah.
So it's all falling Tigers' way.
Par for the course, actually.
On to Saturday, and my pick for game of the round, with Essendon and Hawthorn, another 60-odd thousand at the G. Absolute cracking game from the opening bounce.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I only saw the opening bounce a little bit further, obviously, because I was on the other channel. But I did keep flicking over, and geez, they were going flat chat.
There was this burst on both ways. Like, Essendon owned the first 10 minutes of the quarter, and Hawthorn owned the last 10 minutes of the quarter.
Yeah, but you see that fourth quarter, both teams were knackered. They were buggered.
Yep.
You see where you need, like, almost a game-winning effort, and after that you're just hunched over for the next 5 minutes. You're almost hoping for a goal, so you've got that 30 seconds where you can just do fuck all.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of game-winning efforts there. I thought as well, because we'll come into the advantage rule, I think that they made one mistake.
On the
Warper one, because he's picked it up and he has taken two steps, but then the whistle's blown.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, right, there's a free kick, I can stop now.
Yep.
The umpire's like, no, you've took the two steps.
Yeah.
But you haven't blown the whistle yet.
And then you heard his reason afterwards. Like, you can't have cake and eat it too. He's like, no, but I'd at least like to see my cake first.
Let me have the cake. At least give me one of them.
I promise I won't eat it. Just give it to me, you fuck.
But anyway, and the other advantage was a perfect call. It's just unfortunate that everybody stopped because there's a ruck infringement.
Yeah.
But I think it was the only ruck infringement free kick paid on the day, which is amazing.
Yeah. But I think one of the concerning things for Hawks was a lot of missed opportunities towards the end of the match.
Especially in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Easy ones too.
Yeah. By seasoned veterans as well. So you would hope that you'd have them.
Is Schoenmakers back to being the whipping boy?
No. He did nothing wrong at all. It was Ruffy was the worst one.
Yeah.
Dropped a couple of easy marks and missed
a goal.
Missed a sitter from 30.
After being straight in.
And I think in the second quarter, he nailed one from 50-odd, which was brilliant. Luke Bruce had another great one, kicked a few more goals, a few more tackles. I found out, you know, the 50-100 that I've been talking about?
Yep.
It was the mongrel punt that actually started that chat.
Right.
And they're well on it as well. I read it today. They're following him in. But Jack Gunston with five, I think might have been the difference of the day.
Yep. It's just, I think they had lots of contributors, though, and they've got almost like a good core team now, the Hawks, so they can have a sort of transition period where some of their players are going to obviously be on the outer, but they've got enough there to not drop too far. Like, you thought this year would be the season where they drop down a fair bit, but they've proved that the investment they've had, especially with O'Meara, obviously Titchell was never in doubt, but other ones have come through, and now they're looking like they're actually going to have some stability.
Well, Warple and Morrison had both had great games.
Yeah.
And they both won crucial one-on-ones against, you know, Goddard and Hurley.
Yeah.
I had Essendon tip for this until I found out McKernan was out, so I changed my tip.
He's done for the year.
Yeah, but how... I would not have said that at the start of the year.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, exactly. Hawks had the winners all over the ground. Don't get fooled, though. Hawks are fifth on the ladder. I still don't consider them a premiership threat. And I keep saying it. We've had a nice draw.
Yeah.
And even, you know, we've... Our wins against top eight sides... Geelong was a brilliant game. But Collingwood and Melbourne, we played them before they got their shit together.
Yeah.
If we played them tomorrow, it would be a different story. But anyway... Harry Morrison gets the NAB Rising Star nod today.
Yep.
And you say older players moving on. Silk signed on for season 18 today as well.
Good on the lad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising.
Yeah, unlucky not to get a Rising Star nod as himself, but but that means I think if we play one final, he'll have 200 Hawthorn games.
Shit,
it's just astounding.
Crazy. So you get two of his kids.
He's got four.
There you go.
Three boys and a girl, and we've got a VFLW team, so...
Yep.
Yeah, we'll take them all. All right, on to Brisbane and North, and of course, I was at the Hawthorn game, so I didn't see much of this one, but I did see the main talking point, which is Cam Rayner's casual kick in the park with 30 seconds to go.
Well, he decided to kick around the corner for some reason, and...
And rushed it.
Yeah, but the weird part is, this is... probably the winning goal you're about to kick. Take your moment, lad. And he's a young lad. He's a fucking superstar player.
Yep.
I'd have him in the side tomorrow, missed kick or not. But North were completely knackered. They were completely out on their feet, and Brisbane just had more run.
Yeah, but he had a kick for goal, a strong mark and a kick for goal, like not long before that kick. And
about 2 minutes. It was
perfect.
It was a 50-metre kick, too. He had a decent boot on him.
It was a great boot. And this one, couldn't have been less than 45-degree angle.
No.
And gone for the
25 out, maybe.
Gone for a snapshot.
Yeah, and he wasn't put off by the crowd.
No, they'll both be very, very quiet for him. I thought Fagan after the match was really good, though. We went up and said, mate, miss the shot.
What can you do?
And in the presser, he said, you know, that doesn't define him. He's going to have moments like that, you know, through the next 10 years where he'll pay us back in spades.
Yeah, he has to drop the World Cup.
No.
I thought Hodgie had one of his better games this year as well. He's provided some stability off half back, or even broke the lines a few times. You're like, how are you getting duped by Hodgie? Yeah.
I tell you what, the old light and easy must be doing him all right.
I reckon he's looking not too bad at all.
He looks younger.
Plus, he's got a bit of a sidestep going now.
I can't wait till he takes up a assistant coaching role and then fucks off after 1 year.
Yep,
it'll be great.
Yeah, even Mitch Robertson had some key involvements in that last quarter, even that last half of last quarter.
Yeah.
He took umbrage to being pushed over the line by one of North's youngsters and had a bit of a go at him. And then he's come back and kicked a goal, and then he's gone to give him shit and realised it's the wrong person.
I think it was Simpkin, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got to give it out anyway. He probably got away with one earlier. So
Yeah.
One up on him in the bank.
You'd prefer to be one up on Mitch Robertson, wouldn't you?
Was it McCluggage has kicked one of the goals of the round as well?
Yeah, he did fucking well.
Nice little one on the pocket, snuck it in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Little dribbler.
They had a few of those. Like, in the first half, I don't think they missed. I think, pretty sure the scores... Yeah, it wasn't until halfway through the second quarter where they actually kicked a point.
Yeah, so six goals flat in the first quarter. That's not bad. And I think North Melbourne got out to a start too, didn't they?
Yeah, they got the first three on. Two of them from Kane Turner.
Right.
So they did the usual thing that you expect from one of the lower teams. They triple-teamed Benny Brown. But with Wood, Waite, and Turner around there, they just left Turner open. He was running off the back flank and just decided, well, fuck it, kick me.
Jared Waite was playing. Kicked two goals.
Yeah, he did all right.
Yeah.
Does he get injured next week or the week after?
Oh, he's fine for the season now. He's waiting until his contract gets renewed. Yeah, he'll get injured.
You keep telling yourself that.
But yeah, North just like they ran out of legs. Even Tarrant, he looked like he was sick of seeing the ball come in right on top of his head in that last quarter. Let Robertson get the best of him a couple of times.
Hmm. Well, wouldn't it surprise me if they're doing a heavy training load at the minute, because out of all the teams vying for the eight, they've got the easiest run home.
Yeah.
I think they play the bottom three sides or three of the bottom four. Or,
no, we've got Bulldogs, Adelaide in Adelaide, and St Kilda. So you'd have to line up.
Gold Coast.
No, we already played them twice. And then you've got Adelaide and Adelaide, and Adelaide may or may not still be in the conversation by then, so you never know.
You never know. There you go. That's actually harder than I thought it was, you know, with Adelaide, really, because I don't know why I thought you had lesser ones. But anyway, still, teams that aren't playing finals.
Yep.
So that...
yeah, I think Adelaide's in the mathematically possible phase, but they need everything to go their way and to win by a couple hundred points.
Yeah, I think they need 3 10-goal victories
in
a row.
Yeah.
But yeah, Zeebel I thought was a highlight for North, and same with Majdor. He's been very fucking handy on the halfback. He kept taking intercept marks left, right and centre.
Yeah, it's what he does.
Yeah, kept handballing them off as well, but...
that's all right.
He's doing his job.
Nothing wrong with him doing that.
Yep. There was one stage in the first half where Ryan Clark turned over 5 goals. Like, 5 Brisbane goals of the 9 were because of him.
When he gets to 4 turnover goals, do you think, you know what, I might move him off?
Yeah.
Well, they did. That was the problem. He kept chasing the ball, and then he'd get it. You know, getting the ball is good.
Hey, can't chase the ball from the bench, son.
I like players who chase the ball, but when you kick it in between 2 North players to an opposition, fucking hell.
It's time to pull up stumps, I think.
Repeatedly.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, time to start aiming, like, not at the man, just like you've got to calibrate your kick.
He's only a young lad, so he'll get better because he can't get much fucking worse.
Well, yep, there is that.
But,
do you reckon after you've had a day like that, Madge just puts his arm around and goes, mate, I know how you feel.
you're only 6 seasons away from finding form, champ.
They'll find a spot for you, don't worry about it. They will have perseverance. Anyways.
Oh, well, we're just cleaning room for Gaff.
Yeah, well, that's going to be cheaper now. on to the showdown. At times it looked like this game was going to run away, but it's a shame, again, that they're all focused on one thing, which is the...
The add-in points, yeah. Fucking, how can you kick that many?
The goal shot from Jenkins in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I personally think that nothing wrong happened, because I couldn't tell if it hit the goalpost or not. The goal umpire couldn't tell. They put it up for a review. The reviewer couldn't tell. And they went, well, he's called it a goal. It's a goal.
Yeah.
Why? And then they went on, oh, this is a catastrophic failure. You know, the system's bloody hopeless. You know, at the Hawthorn game, there was 3 goal reviews. 2 of them were Hawthorn goals that got turned away. And the other one was a confirmed goal. Worked perfectly. And then this one happens. And they go, you know what? We can't really see. And they go, oh, it's a terrible system. Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it is
rubber the fucking green.
I think it is a shit system in that the cameras aren't high res enough. Because the amount of times you see... What the umpire calls stands most of the time. And if the umpire can get it wrong or right, whatever. But if you're going to have a system, we've got some of the biggest investments in technology in this sport in terms of broadcasting. Get a higher res camera. Like, it's not fucking rocket science. When you're looking at the camera shot and there's this blur, and like, is the finger pushing back? I don't fucking know. It looks like a seagull. Like, just get a better camera.
No, that was Darren Jarman.
I think that, you know, they're talking about putting sensors on the goalpost and all that kind of shit. I'm like, no, come on.
Yeah, let's not overthink it.
They've already got 2 cameras on the goalpost. The problem is this one was above the cameras. I'm like, well, okay, so you need a GoPro at the top of the goalpost facing down. So that now means 4 goal line cameras. It's like, guys, you know what? Sometimes call goes against you.
No, just go to Woolies, get those bars they have for stealing shit, and put one of those little tags inside the footy, and there you go. You hear the beep before it's gone across the line, it's touched.
Yeah, there you are.
See, I fucking sold it for probably $14.95.
Yeah, good luck with that. But then you got to, you know, get your own plastic bag, so that fucks that up.
No, they backflipped on that again.
I think the better players on the game, though, a lot of them were on the Port Adelaide side. Like, obviously, Robbie Gray got the medal. I thought so. Yeah, Wingard had one of his better games as well.
How many of those does he have now?
I have no idea.
A handful, surely.
No idea, because nobody really cares.
But they were talking about when you pick the best on ground for these ones where you get like a medal or some shit. Showdown
medal.
So they've got to pick it, I think it's like with 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go in the last quarter.
Usually they put the votes in before the game's finished.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have to do that, because surely siren goes, you go, all right, guys, I got this one, and it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the math is pretty simple.
Why does it take 10 minutes to do it? You can do it after the siren.
Yeah, exactly. And surely you can find some engraver that's, you know, can do that. I would assume it would take maybe 5 minutes at most.
Engrave it later even.
Yeah, yeah, engrave it afterwards.
Put a sticker on it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it seems ridiculous. I'd like to be like, they should have open deliberation on those. That's what AFL needs to do. They need to pick up their online content, because they try and shut down everyone else who tries for anything online themselves. They won't do it. So if they opened up like these sorts of conversations about who gets these medals to the public, that'd be a nice little benefit that we'd be able to watch.
Yeah.
Well,
on YouTube.
I don't know that it'd be rocket science, to be honest. I reckon it's just, you know, a bunch of ex-player nuffies are going, these are pretty fucking good game, any. He was a bit shit in the first half. He's not right now, though.
Or like the Western Derby, where they voted, and then Ross Glendinning went, nah, gave it to someone else. You could have that side of it, which I like, actually. Opening up to the public vote does have its own day, just because, for example, if there was a medal at the Hawthorn-Essendon game on the weekend, I think Cyril Rioli might have still won it.
Especially if Bruce was doing the announcing.
Yeah. So it doesn't always work out that way.
This is true.
But anyway, that's two great showdowns for the year, and I think they go one each in that one. So,
fourth great match in a row.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we were at the fifth.
Yeah, I went to I saw three games of footy live this weekend. You blokes saw half a game. But Saints and the Bulldogs. Saints start off on fire and then went, that's enough. They had a great first quarter.
I had a great first quarter too.
Yeah, tore it up.
I think it was like at least, I think it was 2 pints and a whiskey in that first quarter.
I think we went more than two, but we'll run with two, whatever. Hey,
kept the Bullies goalless in the first quarter, even though they had 5 points. And then in the next two quarters, 8 goals to nothing.
Yep.
Or 3 goals, I should say. They kicked 3 in the second. Seb Ross was the only thing worth talking about on St Kilda. Oh, and Freezer played his first game in 5 years. His first game.
Yeah.
After being drafted 5 years later. So that was nice. But Seb Ross, 40 touches, 3 goals in a team that went down by, a comfortable 6 goals.
Fucking good effort, actually. That's really good.
Not a bad effort at all. They're nice goals, too. But on the Bulldog side of things, Bontempelli, when he wants to turn it on.
He was back to his one of his best performances this season.
Such a natural footballer, but goddamn is he lazy.
Yeah.
He's so lazy behind the ball.
Yeah. But,
when you're that good, you can afford to take the quickest route.
But you can almost see the Saints players give up in this game, especially in that third quarter.
It looked like
it didn't take much. And even the supporters weren't disappointed that they were going to win this game, to be honest.
I reckon I've seen 3 or 4 Saints games this year. And again, they work so hard. When they got the ball, they work so hard to get across the ground.
Yeah.
Not down the ground. They work damn hard to get across the ground. Yeah. I don't know why.
And just how many times they just left Johannesson loose to run pretty much between the 250-meter arcs. Surely someone's got to stick on him. They're almost lackadaisical even trying to tag him.
Caleb Daniel was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just seems like the Saints had Ross Lyon flashbacks, and they're like, this attacking footy shit, mate. Ain't going to take off.
No, it was horrible at times. And like you said, sitting amongst the Saints supporters, they'd seen enough of it too. They started openly mocking their own side.
Trying to put the positive spin about draft picks onto it, but you see those people were hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a rough run home for the Saints, unfortunately, this year. I don't know if there's any much else to say about that game.
Well, I think they'll avoid the spoon, but only because Carlton are shitter.
Yeah, well, I think it's a mathematical impossibility for them to get the spoon at the minute. So,
don't be massive, it is.
Massive isn't their strong point, so.
No. Swans and Collingwood. I think the night started off well with the brilliant Collingwood banner.
Jay
Mads on Reddit was actually given credit for discovering it. But
they credited Reddit for some information. Yeah. What definitely wasn't Jai Bednar, was it?
No, it was Nat Edwards on the AFL shows.
You can trust her, reliable.
Nat, don't worry about Nat Edwards, mate.
Yeah, her and Nara Lee. That's what we need. Nat, Nara Lee,
and Hutto. We'll keep Hutto, Anthony Hudson.
Right, yeah. Just to keep some order in the place.
This is an unbelievable season for Collingwood.
It's ridiculous.
Even in this game, they were down. They went, Moore, you've got to go to Buddy. You're all we've got. And then he gets injured.
Yep.
So they're throwing Category B rookies onto Buddy Franklin. I mean, Franklin's kicked 6 and pretty much won the game for the Swans.
Yeah.
But you feel for Collingwood. You're like, mate, Myshek was on him at one stage. I think they have the debutant on him as well. I mean, what else can they do? I don't know if they've got a team left.
Well, they've their best team is on the bench, and it turns out that they're not their best team anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about mathematically possible around this time of year. It's still mathematically possible for Collingwood to finish 9th on percentage.
Yep.
I want to see that. I'm on board.
I reckon there's a good chance of it too, because they're just running out of people.
Yeah, they're seriously running out of people to put on the park. And it's been common with, hamstrings that they've been going through.
Well, more especially. This is his third injury on the year.
Yeah, I'm saying the black market for some pre-loved hamstrings.
I tell you what, you'd be tempted to call up Dank, wouldn't you? Like, is there anything you got, mate?
Desperate.
Well, they're going to run into Brisbane, Port and Frio. Brisbane and Port are going to be tough. Like, Brisbane play a very similar game to what they do.
Yeah, is up there, Brisbane?
Not sure. No, here.
It is here.
Well, Eddie had.
Depending on how many... you know, if De Goey's back and Howell's back, that might give them an advantage. But you're right, there's no walkover.
Yeah.
I mean, Frio over there, that's still...
Again, it depends what team they've got.
Yeah.
But you'd say that they'd have the advantage, because I don't think Sandilands or Fife are coming back. But it's not an easy run in, just because of their injuries. You really got to blame their injuries on this one. But, I mean, if they do finish ninth now, I still believe that Buckley's had one of the best coaching years he's ever had.
Yeah, I think he's been dealt a hand that he definitely wouldn't have planned on, and it's almost been flying by the seat of his pants. It's been working.
Found so many good players this year, and repurposed players that,
It's going to be hard to keep some of them. Like, I know there's the Collingwood draw in terms of players can earn more off the field as well.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But there's going to be a lot of players who are up for big cash, and they've already thrown out some dosh at De Goey, obviously, and Moore's going to be up for contract renewal as well, and they're working on him. And...
Well, by all accounts, they paid way unders for De Goey. Because he was offered $1 million, and I think the figure thrown around was he signed for 600.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's his call. But there's going to be another 7 or 8 players who are going to have to either renew or extend in the next, few months, really.
Yeah. Well, there's one big one, too. They're in the race for Tommy Lynch.
Well, that's just it. I don't see how they keep... They can't keep everyone on the salary cap unless they're hypnotising people to accept $5 or something. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes, especially if... Because they're on the up this season. They finally... gone through the slide. Maybe it continues, maybe it doesn't, who knows? Some young lads are going to have a hard conversation with their manager.
I reckon there's going to be some old lads that are going to find out, you know what, maybe we don't need you anymore. And you're talking guys like Fasolo, even Gold Sachs, he might even still play this year, coming back from a knee rico in the same year. But there's a lot of those guys like Elliot, what have you done for us lately, champ? Blair, you know what? Oh, we got Stevens now. Stevenson, we prefer him. So there's where their attrition rate's going to ease it a little bit, but you're right, it's still a squeeze.
And they've still got Daniel Wells on the contract for next year.
Yeah, well, give or take some. Doesn't always work out. Bullshit goal from McCartan to win the game too. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yep.
But some rookie errors, I thought, in the last minute from Collingwood as well. They should have had at least one shot on goal, but they stuffed it up a couple of times.
Which, with the amount of rookies they have on the field, that's forgivable.
It's literally a rookie mistake.
Yeah, like, it's all fun and games to have pot shots at Collingwood, but to do what they've done with their list in the way they've done it,
it's astounding.
They've played beautiful-looking football. Like, anyone who says the state of the game is terrible after this round is full of shit.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Like, we had seven brilliant matches and a couple of shit ones, but good ones.
I'm wondering what the seventh one is, because I'm looking at Sunday and I don't see it.
GWS, just because fuck Carlton.
Okay, we'll talk about that game then. Yeah. This game got so ridiculous at times they were playing 17 and 16 men. Why? I mean, that's surely when that happens, the mercy rule has to come into play.
Well, I like how the scoreworm just looks like a downhill skier, because that's what was going on here.
It's very consistent. I mean,
they were trialing the new rules in the Bees today. They could have started here at halftime. bugger it. All right, let's have a crack.
Switch Guernseys.
Yeah. Well, I was hearing some updates from, I can't remember who was playing in the VFL, they were trialing the new rules.
Coburg it was, and Casey.
Yeah, they reckon that didn't really make any difference at all to the game, except for the fullback was trying to bomb it into the centre circle from a point.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Look, the only things they won were hit-outs and bounces. That's the only stats they got. Oh, and more interchanges.
They count ounces.
How many interchanges did GWS have?
57 out of 90. They,
like I said, then they 17 men on the field, and they still made interchange. Well, hang on, does it count as an interchange if somebody comes off and then goes back on? Like the same person?
Same person, yeah, I'm not sure.
Because he actually, they still have to let the timekeeper or the interchange gate bloke know.
Well, technically, he hasn't been replaced, so he doesn't have to go through the interchange gates. He can go off anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have done that. Just do the old hide behind the goalpost and then run back on.
Get your rub down behind the goals, just stay there and then get back on. Anyway, Josh Kelly had it field day, but I mean, he was under no pressure all day.
You say that, 22 contested possessions ain't bad.
Yeah, they're only contested because his own teammates are trying to take it off him. Like, come on, you've had your turn, you're hogging it.
Pretty much. He was waxing at one stage with Shield.
I don't know if there's nothing else really to say about the game, was there? Sunday was a damn boring day. You can see it coming a mile off.
Well, I think we called it from the start that, you know, the weirdest part is it's the day that's been talked about the most this week. But anyway.
No, after Sunday afternoon it was.
Yeah.
At the MCG, Melbourne put a hurting on the Gold Coast Suns. It was never in doubt. I think it was nice that at the end it felt like, and even the commentator said, it felt like Melbourne were down by a goal because they wanted that 100-point win.
Yeah.
And they were really trying to get that 100-point win.
Yep.
But you notice now, Demons, I think they're fourth on the ladder. So
yeah, I think fourth through eight have all got the same amount of wins and losses, just percentage. And so that percentage booster is couldn't come at a better time for the Ds.
How many wins have Ds got against top eight sides, you reckon, off the top of your head?
Three?
Two.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero top eight wins.
Jeez.
And they play Sydney this week, who are...
just snuck into the top
who
eight.
Who are in the top eight at the minute. But, yeah, of the teams in the current top eight, they have zero wins. Mm. So they need a scalp. You know, they've got three games left. I think they've got a game against GWS as well. So they need a scout.
And this top eight's still going to see a lot of change in the next three rounds as well.
Hell yeah, it is.
I did see a stat, I can't remember if it was on the paper or Reddit. Max Gawn's got more hitouts to advantage than any other individual team.
Yeah, but that's not that surprising, is it? I mean, because really there's only one person per team that gets hitouts anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hitouts to advantage. Yeah. Like, Goldstein gets tons of hitouts, but half of them aren't to advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, for him to have more than a team is really, I feel like it's disingenuous, because how many people on a team have hitouts anyway? There's only two or most three, you know, in a game. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's the best ruckman. Of course he does.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's the way it goes. Yeah, they're winners all over the ground. Broken collarbone to Joel Smith is the only sour note for the Ds. But anyway, it was a walk in the park. And you do feel for the supporters, because they've been on the arse end of 100-point floggings for the best part of a decade.
Finally dish one out.
Dish went out, you know, against the Suns that didn't have much to do. There was one bright shining light for the Suns in a week where their captain said he's going to fuck off. Sexton, five goals straight. You know, for a team that's only kicked seven, you can say you've done your job.
Well, with the Lynch deciding to fuck off, though, it is one of the weird ones. They decided, well, we're stripping you of your co-captaincy then. It's like, that isn't that kind of like telling the girl that's just dumped you, you're going to block her number?
Well, at the same time, though, it's kind of, I can understand it from their point of view, because they're saying, mate, you're not going to be here next year. You're now not a player. We can't have you doing
exactly
the stuff. You know, do your rehab and that, but you can't be in opposition meetings because you're now the opposition.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. I think they could have handled it a little bit better, though. They didn't have to come out with such vitriol. I can understand they're pissed off too, because he's your fucking captain.
Yep.
You know, 2 years in a row they've had their captain leave their club.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just fed him full of false information, send a red herring out there and see what happens next year.
I don't know if they've got any information that needs to be falsified. But, they could have handled it a little bit better. But, you know, pissed off.
Yeah, I heard the young kids weren't too happy about him announcing he's leaving as well.
He was on the team. Buying them booze. How the fuck are you going to get it now? May's not buying it for him.
Yeah, this is true. So, yeah, apparently the senior players weren't too happy about the reception they got, because they're probably planning on fucking off too.
Well, it makes it interesting now, because May's out of contract next year. And, I'm sure they'll be talking to him all year, mate, we need you to fucking sign. We can't do it anymore.
So, balancing their budget must be easy, because they've got no one to spend their cash on.
Well, they've got no money coming in either. So.
Well, AFL. They give
exactly,
money.
That's it. They just go, AFL more, give it more.
Yeah, well, Witts had a decent game, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, you know, against the... one of the premier ruckmans running around at the moment. I mean, it's either him or Grundy, I'd say.
It's gone.
But, you know, for the sake of argument, easily top two. Witts wasn't pantsed. He got a couple more hit-outs than Gawn, and he was more than handy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a good year.
He has, actually.
For someone, he was captaining the side on this game, too.
Well, he might get that permanently, which means he'll be leaving the Seniors after. But, no, I mean, they could do worse. He seems like someone that's pretty committed to the squad.
He's done well, especially because, you know, it's a second chance for him up at Gold Coast because he was discarded with Collingwood. And on to the Western Derby. Obviously, we've mentioned the main talking point out of this, and we'll leave it there. Walter's mark. That's what I want to talk about. Yep. It's in. It's mark of the year.
I do love how even McGovern, who's held him up there, and he's contributed to that mark.
Yeah, he's helped him.
When Walters lands, McGovern looks and just smiles. He's like, fuck off.
Is he the nicest guy ever?
I'm amazed that Walters knew where the ball was, because the whole time he was just looking at McGovern going, licking his lips.
I've got to climb this bastard. Yep. And then he got up there and like, I hope the ball's here. It is. Thank you.
Yep. Then you see him trying to get his leg up, and he literally had to go into almost a seated position just to try and get on his shoulders. And managed it.
And you can see, obviously, McGovern's a strong bastard, because he's like, what the fuck's this on the arm? And he held him there for him. But I love it that McGovern gave him a little pat on the shoulder and goes, mate, that's fucking nice. Remember in the 2015 grand final, at the three-quarter time, he helped one of the Hawthorn players up. You know, just, here you go, mate. You know, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that one,
And he just went, you know what, mate? It's a fucking good mark.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were getting flogged at the time anyway.
It always helps.
Yeah, it always helps. But I think also when you're a football fan, you see that, you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else can you say? You can't take it away. You can't say, mate, that was lucky, or I think it was touch.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good mark.
And, you know, you're like, at the time, you'd be like, well, this is the highlight of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
This could be replayed endlessly.
I did notice, too, that Ballantyne was front and centre of that. He didn't stop to shake his hand. Handball, come on. Don't get any goals here. He's got a contract to earn.
Yeah.
And it was the first Glendinning Allen medal.
Finally got a name for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give it out to Elliot Yeo. Nobody on this side of the country cares.
No.
Not really.
No, just, that's the first time I found out Yeo won it.
Yeah. He's had a good season.
Yep. And, not a whole lot for Fremantle to really play for these days. So you expect the same effort they've put on when they did have something to play for.
I mean, you know, they could play for the game, but they don't play attractive footy anyway, really.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're playing for, really. They're just getting through the end of the year and deciding where their inter-season trip's going. All right.
Not Bali, apparently.
Not Bali. On to round 21, just three games to go. We start off with a blockbuster Friday night, Essendon and St Kilda at Etihad.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's be honest, St Kilda aren't turning up.
No.
You have to think the Dons will get a pretty easy win over this. But, Phil Saints could really just fuck with someone's season yet. One more time.
They've got three games to go to do it. Yeah. One of them's Hawthorn, so they better not.
Yeah.
The other one's North. There's this one.
I still can't pick them, though.
So, Saints are playing against three sides that are battling for the eight, or Essendon are...
Three hungry sides. Essendon can still make it.
And need percentage.
Yeah.
Shit.
Interesting. It could get nasty for them.
I'd like to see Cal Hooker kick two massive goals against Hawthorn. He was a tower of strength. He might have a big day out because he hasn't got a big forward to look after. So, interesting to see if Jakey Stringer lines up too, because he had a bit of an ankle issue. But that's three votes for Essendon. Hawthorn and Geelong at the MCG.
Game of the round, this one, I reckon.
What a cracker!
Good one.
Ironically, like halfway through the season, you wouldn't have said Geelong outside the eight versus Hawks in it.
Yeah, exactly. And still, it's Hawthorn fifth, Geelong ninth. Geelong are favourites.
Yep.
And I completely understand it.
Yeah.
Well, they've got the same amount of wins, don't they?
Yeah, it's just a percentage.
Yeah. So that's how tight this season is. It's massive because either team loses and it's going to be hard to keep in the eight or get in the eight for.
I think I said it last week too. Like, 13 wins isn't a guaranteed final this year.
No.
You need 13 wins and the best percentage.
Yep.
14 wins is guaranteed, but 13 isn't.
Yeah. That being said, I think the Cats, just a bit of experience. Like, I'm not sure if last week, for the experience about the close game of the Tigers, would be a benefit or a detriment to how they play this week, because it was a hard-fought game. I don't know if that's going to take it out of them, or if they look at... Well, they can't afford to rest players, because they've got to fight for every win for the rest of the season, so... Yeah, I think another hard-fought game might actually play into the Hawks.
It'll be wet again, too.
Yeah.
Well, Hawks had a hard-fought game, too. I think the extra day's break for Geelong is going to be handy.
In fact, I've convinced myself to go with the Hawks. Yep.
I'm going for Geelong. I think Sir will get all the free kicks, and it'll be great for him.
Well, no Sicily. Don't need him. It's going to be a tough one with this. Frawley on Hawkins is going to be an interesting one, because Frawley had probably his best game for the year last week.
But, yeah,
see, that's where I think they should mic up players. Could just hear Frawley and Hawkins go,
Good stuff.
It's still better than Lee in commentary.
Yes, this is true.
Gold Coast and Richmond, we can skip that one. Port Adelaide and West Coast at Adelaide Oval. This is an interesting game.
That's going to be very good.
Last time these two teams met at that Oval, it was Luke Shuey after the siren.
That's right. Yeah.
It should be a Port Adelaide bloodbath.
You reckon?
Which is funny to say with West Coast sitting second. But I think with all the scrutiny they're going to be going under this week and Port trying to recover from a bad beat last week, they'll have something to prove there.
I'm on Port. I don't think Kennedy's back either. I reckon he might sit out one more week.
Yeah.
Which does make...
I think coming back from that injury, you want him to play at home first. Like, you don't want him to travel straight up.
Yeah, and the fact that they're second, you know, and probably comfortable second as well.
Yeah.
You might just go, you know what, one more. Yeah. One more week.
Yeah, you'd have to for the sake of finals. So, yeah, I reckon Port will get across the line this one.
I reckon they get up in a big way. I've rated their engine from day one, and I think they're going to really get it revving.
One down in the engine this week, obviously.
Yep.
Collingwood and the Lions at Etihad Stadium.
I still think Collingwood, but it's not going to be an easy run for them.
No, Lions have got every chance in the world.
Yeah.
And you've got to wait till the Medico report comes out of Collingwood these days.
Actually, I need a roughie get up this week, so I'm on Brisbane.
Yeah, I might be two.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go for the three. Yeah,
I'll get in. I'm three behind the leader with three rounds to go. Contender for match of the round is the Giants and the Crows, because the Crows are back in form. And the Giants have, they've had five injuries last week. So, let's see who lines up.
The Ferrari's got a second gear. But
has it got a second set of tyres, though?
Well, that's the Adelaide need everything to go their way. So they'll be hungry as balls to get out there. But I think GWS are just looking... even though they've got their injury worries, their Ferrari engine is still decent.
Yeah, this one's in Canberra too, so I think GWS probably be a bit more to their advantage. I think they'll get across the line.
I think in Canberra you can get a lot of the open breeze a lot of the times too.
Yeah.
A little more open than most grounds. So that might play into it in some way, shape or form.
It's just all the hot air in the area.
Yep. Bulldogs and North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium on Sunday. This was a close game last time, wasn't it?
We went to it and North only just got up.
Is that the one? That's right. Mitch Wallace fucked it up with a kick right at the end.
Yeah.
That's right. I knew it was a good one.
It was a cracker of a match, to be honest. Not so great for the old ticker, but Jack Zeeble got that final goal.
Yeah, in the goal square.
From Benny Brown's tap on, or whatever it was.
With Jared Waite back, and I don't know if Marcus Adams is playing, because he obviously sat out the St Kilda game.
Yeah.
I think it might be just too big. For North.
Especially Eddie had undercover. Yeah. We don't have to worry about rain. We need clean possession. You've got to have the height to really keep the ball out of the Bulldogs' hands and, play the game on your terms.
I mean, the Bulldogs had a good win, but the Saints were absolutely shit.
Yeah.
So that's really what that came down to. So I think North Melbourne comfortable.
Yep.
Melbourne and the Swans at the MCG.
I like this game.
Great game. Oh, it'll be a great spectacle too, because Swans are back in town, but Melbourne, they need a win against a contender. Mm. And Sydney have got the roughest run home, so I think they've got Melbourne, GWS and Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And they need all three.
Yeah, when would we expected like a performance that Sydney were going to dominate? This hasn't happened this year yet against a quality side. So I don't know if they're just ready to hit their straps or maybe they're done and done. I think Melbourne will probably get across the line in this one.
A couple more to come back this week in Hanbury and Rowan, which means a few of the younger lads are probably going to miss out. But does it still come down to Buddy? Is Buddy the one that's got to do it all?
Well, it doesn't hurt.
He'll take the major load.
Doesn't hurt.
I can see them holding him back if they can play smart.
Yep.
But if they decide to let him play up the ground and start getting score involvement, so not necessarily kicking himself, but being able to spot out his own players, he's hard to stop.
It's if they relax for 5 minutes, they can lose the game. Melbourne, that is. You just feel like the Swans are just going to do it. Like, yeah, just enough. And they'll win by 4 points.
I'm backing Melbourne in to get their top eight win, just because they haven't got one now that you've told me that. And I think they have to get one for at least once this season.
So the problem is if they beat Sydney, they go, yay, there's our top-out win, and then Sydney drops out of the eight.
Yep.
Anyway, and Freo versus Carlton, who cares? All right, that'll do us for this week.
Yeah. Good luck. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.